call or text the team line at 970-242-1340.
Thanks for joining us. It's Apache Friday. We celebrate the weekend. Jim, along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. I had Kentucky going to my Final Four.
That stings. That one stings.
To quote our colleague, probably his best known line, the Oakland victory over Kentucky was cool, but it sucked.
It's cool, but it sucks.
Really, really sucks. Because I had them in my Final Four. From Dylan today. If I can get my text line to work. Thank you, text line. That's a good text line. Good text line. Kid was draining threes for Oakland. Fun first day of the tournament. McKinnon needs to overtake the NHL points lead tonight. Have fun at the game, Cake.
Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Oh. Mr. Trudy, Guru Gary.
Oh, no.
Trudy had Kentucky to championship game and Mississippi State to Elite Eight. I got a shot to beat her this year, maybe. Yes, you do.
But see, Guru, now that you've said it out loud, you're tempting a little bit of fate here, my friend. So, you know, just.
Yeah.
The universe does not take kindly to those that say they will defeat their wives in bracket palooza.
Yeah. So anyway, you can go to our website, theteam1340.com. Click on there if you filled out your bracket already and get the latest update on that. Let's see. So we're still looking for a correct answer.
Yes.
On Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. William had a guess. It is incorrect.
It is not correct.
Not the correct guess. So once again, let's go ahead and do it here.
All right. One second.
Whenever. All right, thank you. It's to win a gift certificate to Wrigley Field on North Avenue. Perfect place to watch March Madness. Everything that's going on right now, the tournament, it's a perfect place to go.
It is.
Who is the only Bronco coach to ever receive a 10-year contract? Is it Mike Shanahan, Lou Saban, or Red Miller? The gentleman that got this 10-year contract never had a winning season.
That should tell you all you need to know right
now. So that should eliminate, that should give you the answer, to be quite honest.
Pretty much.
If you know anything about the Broncos, that should give you the answer. All right, so send your answer in right now to get the gift certificate to Wrigley Field. Great place to check out the NCAA tournament. Final time I'm gonna ask you the question. Who is the only Bronco coach to ever receive a 10-year contract? Mike Shanahan, Lou Saban, Red Miller. Get your answer in. You've won the last 2 weeks. Can't win. And if you do win today, you're in for the never-ending contest for this month, where Haining Home Services will come and install a brand new swamp cooler or AC unit in your home. Got to own your own home, though. That's caveat here. Get all the details at theteam1340.com. All right, so it's 8:04, and I believe Jackson Wilson will join us today from River City Sportplex, talk a little Avalanche. We'll also bringing you the interview we had with Chris Hanks. If you're going to go watch Maverick baseball today.
It starts earlier.
Yeah, the first game is supposed to be at 6:05. First game will be at 2 o'clock today, and because some of those changes, we're not going to be able to bring you the broadcast today over on KNZZ. But Mavericks play at 2 o'clock today. They're trying to avoid the bad weather coming in on Sunday. So doubleheader starts at 2 o'clock today when they take on Colorado Christian. And we'll preview it with our conversation with Chris Hanks coming up later on this morning. All right, 8:04, Jim along with Cake today. How's your biggest upset in the bracket that you called? It's your chance to puff up your chest and go, look at me! Look at me!
And if you had Oakland over Kentucky, I don't want just proof. I want
screenshot.
Like screenshot. I want the whole, like, metadata proof that you definitely said,
hey, you know, the Golden Grizzlies, they got a chance this year against John Calipari, Kentucky.
Stop it. Stop it. We have to have proof that you called it.
Hard evidence.
Not just, yeah, I did. No, you got to prove it to us. Like a little proof on that.
Only that one. The rest, yeah. Okay, sure.
All right. So send in your thoughts on that today. You can text us on the team line, 970-242-1340. I do believe we have a winner.
Yes, we do.
Okay, very good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Lee, correctly identifying Mr. Lou Saban. Only Bronco coach to receive a 10-year contract and did not have a winning season.
A lot of hype back in the late 60s when the Broncos got Lou Saban, because Lou Saban had previously had a lot of success in the American Football League. That he had a 10-year contract, $50,000 a year, which at that time was huge in 1967.
Massive.
He led the Bills to AFL championships in 64 and 65. He went and coached at the University of Maryland, then got lured back to the league by the Broncos owners, the Phipps brothers, Gerald and Allen. Never had a winning season. They gave Mike Shanahan a 7-year contract worth about $7 million a season when he was first hired by Pat Bowlen. Then he got extensions, and then he was fired following the 2008 season with 3 years and $21 million left on his contract. Still leads all Broncos coaches with 8 postseason wins and 2 Super Bowl titles. Gary Kubiak, 3-0 in the postseason with 1 Super Bowl title. Dan Reeves, 7-6 with 3 Super Bowl runner-ups. I don't like to use the word they use here. Defeats. Runner-ups. But Lou Saban was the one that they gave the 10-year contract to. All right, 807. Though Saban, along with John Ralston, more John Ralston later, who was his successor, kind of giving a lot of the credit, Ralston in particular, of kind of building the roster, drafting players like Randy Gratishar. Saban kind of helped to set the stage a little bit.
Right.
And then, you know, guys like Rich Tombstone Jackson, obviously the Lyle Alzados of the world, Randy Gratishar, those guys coming in, Otis Armstrong, and played a big role in getting the Broncos to where they were when Red Miller took over to get them to their first Super Bowl. All right, 8:07, Jim along with Cake today, and it is time to go around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
Okay, so who are the Broncos? What are they going to do a quarterback? What's going to happen there?
It's a great question.
Because there's certainly, with free agency how it played out, Denver was not interested in any of the free agent quarterbacks. So Jarrett Stidham is the guy at the moment. He is QB1 in Denver at this point in time. Could the Broncos either stay at 12, hope a quarterback falls to them? Do they try to trade up? Do they love J.J. McCarthy that much? Is Sean Payton that enamored with the Michigan signal caller that they would give up a first-round pick next year to move up in the draft? Vikings are interested in J.J. McCarthy, according to reports.
I've heard Bo Nix.
Then there's the wild card that is Jim Harbaugh, as we've talked about. Because the Chargers are sitting there at 5th. And you're thinking, well, Jim, they got Justin Herbert. Why would they want J.J. McCarthy? Because Jim Harbaugh
is a lunatic.
Because Jim Harbaugh made the comment, I think he'll be the first guy to go in the draft, which he's not. It's going to be Caleb Williams to the Bears.
But you know who could go 5th in the draft?
I'm just saying the way that he's kind of blown up the Chargers roster, it would not be out of the realm of possibility for that guy, for khaki pants, to say, hey, Justin, you're a hell of a quarterback, but we can get some picks out of you. We can get a player or two.
Oh, you could get a king's ransom from him.
Because teams would be killing to have Justin Herbert. But he may not be who old khaki pants wants. Old khaki pants likes his guy, J.J. McCarthy, a lot. And he may feel like at 5, they could trade Herbert. This is purely speculation on my part. I don't think this will probably happen, but it might. Because McCarthy could be there for them at five. And if he loves him as much as he says he does, he's his boy. You're my boy, Blue. Would it, okay, follow me through this.
I'm trying, man.
I know, in your captain tinfoil hat, this has some actual, this is actually grounded in reality a little bit.
Is it?
It is, though, because it's Jim Harbaugh. Any other rational coach coming in would say, got one of the better quarterbacks in the league. We've got our guy. I could just see Harbaugh doing this, though, where they know they're going to get a lot for Justin Herbert. They're going to get a lot for him. And he brings in his guy, the guy that he's touted as being should be the top quarterback drafted. If we're going to find out something here. We're going to see if Jim Harbaugh puts his money where his mouth is. If J.J. McCarthy is available, does he draft him?
At five overall?
At five overall. Does he draft him?
Well, we know he's going to be available.
Most likely he'll be available.
In most every... in a considerable amount of mock drafts.
Let's take a look at it here. Okay, so the Bears are probably going to take Caleb Williams.
Caleb's off the board.
Commanders, Drake May, maybe McCarthy? I don't know. Maybe. Penix Jr.
So, okay, I mean, here's the wild scenario. Here's the absolute wild scenario. The absolute wild scenario is Chargers trade. Because if Jim Harbaugh wants his guy, he knows his guy is not going to be the number one quarterback taken off the board. But if he's just superstitious enough and just crazy enough to do this.
And he is.
Trade Herbert to Washington in exchange for that second overall pick.
If I'm Washington, I don't even think twice about that. I'm like, thank you. I'll take Justin Herbert. Thanks. When can we make this deal? Right now? Can we do it now?
Yeah.
Wouldn't even think twice about it.
Then Washington gets Herbert. So that takes that quarterback pretty much, you know.
Because you've got the top three teams are most likely going to draft a quarterback. Because you got the Patriots three. Arizona, they just got Desmond Ridder. They've got Kyler Murray. They're not going to make a move. Then you got the Chargers. But it wouldn't shock me to see the Chargers make a move with the Patriots or the Commanders. Commanders would solidify because it's going to be Caleb Williams that goes to the Bears. Not a shocker there, but is McCarthy going to be picked before Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.? I don't know. A lot of traction's building for him.
Does Washington have a head coach?
Yeah, it's Dan Quinn.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Dan Quinn.
I forgot.
And Gerard Mayo's at New England. So
then that becomes a question then for Justin Herbert. Who would I rather go play for, Dan Quinn or Gerard Mayo?
And I don't know what the Herbert contract, I assume it's got no trade in it. I don't know. But
let's see if we can find out.
But if you're Justin Herbert, you're also kind of going, whew, do I want to go to either one of those teams?
According to CBS Sports, when he signed a new deal last year, it included a no trade clause.
So that is an issue here. Moving forward.
That was a 5-year, $263 million deal.
Yeah. So you have somebody that's been willing to take that contract on. I could see him either at five waiting to see McCarthy come to him or them move up. It would not shock me. But the Broncos sit at 12. And so whatever they do, trade up, sit there, hope somebody falls to them, that Luke McCown, who played for New Orleans, then he stops in his 13-year career, that Luke McCown was interviewed by the Denver Post, former Saints quarterback, and he says that he thinks it's going to be Bo Nix. He says, I can see it 100%. I think Penix would thrive in the play action and downfield stuff that Sean likes. He did a lot of that just from the gun in Washington. A lot of the same concepts. But I'm sorry, he likes Michael Penix Jr. Excuse me. So McCown likes Penix Jr. Excuse me. So he thinks that Penix fits a lot of the things that Sean Payton likes to do in his offense. That makes sense. That's a good fit. Others feel like it's the Bo Nix is the better fit for this offense. Nick Cosmender wrote a long piece about it on The Athletic that that the Oregon quarterback, the comment was a lot of Drew Brees and Bo Nix is the headline on this. And Denver, you know, they were there obviously. Mel Kiper said, I think Sean Payton will see a lot of Drew Brees and Bo Nix.
Which would be huge.
He did a conference call on Wednesday.
And let's be clear, I've been waving the flag proudly of Michael Penix Jr., but I would rather, if given the choice between Penix Jr., Bo Nix, and J.J. McCarthy, I would love Michael Penix Jr. I will settle for Bo Nix. Absolutely not in the J.J. McCarthy fan club, if you will.
I'm becoming more okay about McCarthy only if they don't have to trade up to get him, which I think that's what's going to have to happen here. I like Nix. I like Michael Penix Jr. I'd be happy with either one of those guys. But those two, either one, they're 1A, 1B with me. Though maybe Nix, but they're both 24, though. Not that that's super old. Probably Nix gets maybe a little bit of the edge only because of the injury history for Michael Penix Jr., which it seems like he's kind of put that past him. You know, teams have done their due diligence on his medical, but maybe for that reason, only, I would say Bo Nix by the hair of his chinny chin chin. Because otherwise, I think either guy fits what he wants to do. Bo Nix, super accurate. And I think it was maybe Mike in Scottsdale sent his Auburn numbers comparing Stidham and when Bo Nix was at Auburn. But the numbers he put up at Oregon were eye-popping. The Auburn numbers weren't terrible, but they were, Stidham and him, they're very comparable during their college careers. That doesn't also necessarily mean that Bo Nix is going to be Jared Stidham because their numbers were similar at Auburn. Because you're leaving out the chapter, the Oregon chapter.
Right.
Where he put up some incredible numbers at Oregon. And so the accuracy is going to be part of this. The ability to make plays in the pocket. That's both Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Both are super accurate. You know, I just, you know, the comparison from Kiper about Bo Nix to Drew Brees, very similar hand size. Drew is 6 foot and a half. Bo is 6'2". They're both about 215. Both had with Sean and Bill Parcells. It was always veterans, guys who started a lot of games. Bo Nix started a ton of games at Auburn and Oregon. Went through a lot of adversity when he was at Auburn. Goes to Oregon and plays his best football of his career. I mean, he saved the best for last during his stint as the Oregon Ducks quarterback. I mean, 2023, the numbers are just, they're disgustingly good. 4,508 yards, 45 touchdowns, 3 picks. QBR of 91.2. 2022, he threw for almost 4,000 yards.
Oof.
29 touchdowns, 7 picks. You know, the time at Auburn, the numbers were not horrible, but they weren't as good as you probably like them to be. Threw for just under 3,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions with Auburn in 2021. And then 2020, 2,415, 12-7. And then 2019, 2,542, 16-6. I mean, the production jump at Oregon
huge
was huge. either guy is going to fit in well, I think, with the Broncos. Now the question becomes, can they get either guy? Are they going to be willing to give up to get either one of those players? Or do they sit at 12 and they take Brock Bowers?
Or whatever quarterback might be left, because you never know.
Or one of the tackles, or then they draft. Once again, we talked about it, they draft a Spencer Rattler or Pratt from Tulane in the second round. Once again, we have had people like, what do you think they're going to do? I don't know. I don't get any sense of what direction they're going to go. But certainly what Jim Harbaugh may or may not do when it comes to that fifth pick, whether or not my crazy theory about Jim Harbaugh maybe wanting his guy, J.J. McCarthy, who maybe the Broncos also want, that could put Denver in a position where they have to be bold and they trade up to get him. And they have to get past Harbaugh. Then can they convince, you know, their current quarterback, Justin Herbert, to go someplace else?
It's going to be very interesting.
Also, and around the NFL this morning, NFL wants to ban the hip drop tackle. NFL Players Association is opposed to it. And so, according to Troy Vincent, NFL Executive VP of Football Operations, they quote, "I've been in that position before as a leader of the Players Association, involved in many of the meetings. And there's always going to be resistance from the player when you talk about removing things. There's going to be resistance, and I respect that. There was resistance in removing the blindside block. There was resistance in removing the crackback block. There was resistance removing the attack block. There was resistance removing the horse collar." Again, I mentioned it earlier when he was talking. "Durability and availability is the number one and two aspects for any professional athlete, particularly with football players. The intent is not to throw more flags, but the intent is to examine during the week and remove that style of play." I think, though, as you look at this with the hip drop tackle, has it really been clearly defined exactly what that is and what that looks like?
I'll say this, and maybe this is just my...
It doesn't feel like it has.
Well, this could just be my own ignorance, but I'm not, as someone who watches football enough, but probably still, you know, could learn a thing or two. I'm not quite sure I fully understand what a hip drop tackle is. And again, we talk about it all the time with the NFL and ambiguity. They still haven't really truly 100% defined what a catch is, which is such an integral, fundamental part of the game. If that's left sort of ambiguous, how are they going to clearly define this so that they can ultimately ban it? I'm kind of with the Players Association. I don't know if this is something that on the list of things that could help with player safety, and not even just the concussion issue. That's been well documented, and I think a lot of helmet safety has improved in that area. But I think the next biggest thing in terms of player safety and what the league can and ought to do is look at the fields.
It's typically what it is. You grab the player from the hip, your hip slides into the leg and kind of whips the legs out from under.
Okay.
That is technically a hip drop tackle, though there have been other things that have fallen, that it almost falls into that umbrella category of that, where a player comes up, bumps a guy hip to hip, knocks him down.
Right.
That a hip drop tackle. I think the first thing is, the NFL, at least in my opinion, there needs to be more of a clearly defined thing of what is a hip drop tackle, what are the problems here, and I get in the just going through a couple of them here, where I get it where there's the problem of I grab around the waist, my hip comes down in the leg area, and it hits around the maybe down it drives the ankle into an awkward position where. Broken ankle,
yeah.
High ankle sprain, whatever, that's a problem. But he's right. I mean, Troy Vincent's right. There have been so many times where there's been things that the Players Association have been vehemently against. And the NFL has managed to find a way to get those banned. My concern about this is like anything else in the league. That is there clear, is there clarification on what the rule is going to be,
what that
constitutes in terms of violating said rule.
100% agree.
Because the NFL sometimes they're really quick to enforce certain things, but it doesn't seem like it's particularly black and white.
No.
As much as black and white as you would like it to be in terms of how they're going to call something.
Agreed.
All right. One other final thing this morning. Kansas City man has been charged with stealing $46,000 worth of Dolphins equipment when the Dolphins played the playoff game. And people froze their butts off at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
But a 30-year-old Kansas City man named John M. Brown stole media equipment, football pads, gloves, shoes, and game films and from a Dolphins team truck in January and sold that stuff.
Woof. That is... like, why? Why? You know you're going to get caught. You know that it's wrong, or at least I hope you would know it's wrong. Guess it didn't really stop you, though.
Okay, you think that's bad. And that's bad. It's $46,000 and he stole stuff. But how about... How about this one? Last one to wrap it up here. How about stealing from your own employer? Uh-oh. Which is what happened in Jacksonville. Prosecutors there have charged a former employee of the Jags with stealing not $46,000, mind you, $22 million from the team.
Oof.
Amit Patel had sole authority to approve charges to the team's virtual credit card. A charge account that does not require a physical credit card. So Patel apparently bought a condo, cars, spent it on cryptocurrency.
Because of course he did.
With his bros. Gambling. And a 95,000 dollar watch.
Good Lord.
The cars that he bought. A Tesla Model 3 sedan, a Nissan pickup truck. He also spent it on private jet travel, country club membership, and spa trips. And the retainer fee for a criminal defense law firm.
Gee, it's almost like he knew.
All right, 8:28. That's around the NFL this morning. And are we ready for Where in the World is Tyler Francis?
Yes, we are.
Okay, here we go.
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, tell me!
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
He cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
It's your chance to win with New Belgium Brewery and our friends over at High Country Beverage, a case of Fat Tire on this Friday. For Where in the World is Tyler Franson? You obviously got to be over the age of 21 since this is beer. And if you've won within the last 2 weeks, please sit it out. Otherwise, text in with your first correct answer to Where in the World is Tyler Franson at 970-242-1340. Your bracket was likely busted by a team that bears the same name as this pro sports arena. But this stadium does not host college basketball. In fact, in a couple of years, it might not get to host anything, which is sad, really. But they'll always have the fond memories of being the location for the 1986 music video for Huey Lewis and the News' number one hit, Jacob's Ladder. Where in the world is Tyler Franson?
All right, so first correct answer wins. If you won earlier or if you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Send your answer in right now, must be 21, to the team line, 970-242-1340. You want to do it one more time?
One more time. Your bracket was likely busted by a team that bears the same name on this pro sports arena. But this stadium does not host college basketball, and in fact, in a couple of years, might not get to host anything, which is sad, really. But they'll always have the fond memories of being the location for the 1986 music video for Huey Lewis and the News' number one hit, Jacob's Ladder. Try to do a little Casey Kasem there at the end. It didn't really translate.
Feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
And now our long-distance dedication.
All right, first correct answer wins today on the team line. Text it in, 970-242-1340.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back in, 834. Jim along with Cake today. I cannot wait till this album comes out.
It's going to be so good.
Ohio players from the Black Keys. Beautiful people with Beck. It's to launch into some kind of Bill Walton. Beautiful people with Beck.
I love Puff.
If you've ever seen Beck in concert, you'll be treated to an auditory experience like none other. He's incredible. Waiting for him to play with Bob Dylan. Be great. Jackson Wilson with us today. Hello, Jackson. How are you?
I think you just have such great voices for these different individuals. That's a good Bill Walton.
I don't know. I've been workshopping it some. It's getting a little better. It's not great, but it's getting better.
Do you guys do like your workshop warm up, you know, before you hit on air?
like we're a theater company.
Like we're an improv troupe.
Yeah, exactly. Like an improv troupe. And all right, let's go.
All right, we got to do our Peyton Manning today. let's make sure we get some Omahas in there.
No kidding. We haven't, I don't think any of us have tried to do Peyton Manning in quite some time. I think it's going to be crazy. He's going to be part of the Olympic coverage.
I think it's fantastic.
I think it's great. I mean, I think it's great.
I saw the whole Chris Hansen red zone style they're doing.
Scott Hansen.
Thank you. Wrong Hansen.
That Hansen is always searching for predators, not red zone scoring. Different kind of scoring opportunities. Those are not the approved or legal ones that Chris Hansen was always
good catch,
highlighting.
Jim.
Thank you. With his program.
Good catch, a predator.
Yeah, exactly.
Very clever, Cake. Very clever.
Thank you.
Cake's going to go see the Avs tonight. The Avs, Columbus Blue Jackets. Yep. You know, this little hockey team in Denver might be pretty good after all.
Oh, my God.
Seven straight right now for the Avalanche?
They're on fire. And they got this. They got the Russian kid, Kovalenko, still. Yep. He hasn't even practiced with them yet. He's kind of been getting poked at by the doctors. He played in Russia his last game of the playoffs. He kind of, like, banged up his knee. They think it's just a sprain, nothing serious. But, yeah, once he comes back, I mean, the depth that they have right now is insane. Like, I mean, Bednar trying to just funnel these lineups together day in, day out, make sure guys are getting games has to be pretty challenging.
And I don't think people can truly appreciate what they did on that Canadian road trip where they trail Calgary 2-0, come back to win. Vancouver, best team in the Western Conference, one of the best teams in the league. They're down 3-0 in the second period and come back and win that.
I really like them.
The win at Edmonton, they go to St. Louis, take care of business there. Not that St. Louis is, you know, the caliber of team that they were when the factor was there and they were winning cups. But still, they had to go on the road again.
Hostile environment.
Yeah. It's just been remarkable. It's been remarkable to me how the pieces have fit so nicely with Mittelstadt, obviously with Sean Walker, and getting guys back and getting healthier again. And just getting, you know, Nichushkin back out of the player assistance program, that if they can get Landy back on the ice, it'll be great. But right now, they're in a far better spot, particularly with Mittelstadt now on this team and what Walker can do in that defensive core. If they don't get Landeskog back for the playoffs, they're still going to be a threat, a big-time threat to win the Stanley Cup.
So just Big Val's got 3 goals, 4 assists, five games, right? Just
ending some clutch moments.
That Vancouver team is unreal. And you got a guy, Quinn Hughes, is also playing extremely high-level elite hockey right now as an offensive defenseman, you know. And that team is just, they got good goaltending, they're deep. Elias Pettersson, they got good leadership, good young talent. That's going to be a team I could see the Avs running into in the playoffs. And that will be a tough team to beat in 7 games. Right. And now watching what the Avs are doing, you know, I really think the same thing with us as well. Going into the Landeskog thing, I think that before the trade deadline, I think we definitely did not see how many moves Zach and McFarlane are going to make.
Yeah.
And so we were definitely playing in that Landeskog narrative because it was real, but also because It's like we need that piece. Now you look at it and you're like, we don't have to rush this guy back. Like, I think they would much rather almost at this point, too, just not even try to push him back for playoffs or whatever. Give him the offseason and try to start a season, you know, potentially next year. But then again, I don't know anymore. I don't know.
It's one of those things where they're in such a good position because of the moves they made, where before it's like, man, they really need Landy and they really need him. They need his leadership. They need the two-way play that he brings. They need him back if they're going to make a serious run for the cup. Now it's kind of like, if you get him back, it's great. But if it's just, hey, let's wait till next year, get you ready for next year for 2024, 2025. The Avalanche are in a good spot if they do that, too. They really are in a position where if they get him, it's great. If they don't, it's not like it's going to be, to me, the thing that keeps them from winning a cup, if that makes any sense.
And you know, they're smart enough, too, where I think they made those extra moves because, one, they might not see Laney come back. Two, they shut down Logan O'Connor for the year, right? He got surgery. Maybe that guy doesn't get surgery if they can't pull all those moves.
Right.
You know, and that's a real thing in hockey because all you got to do is just say, oh, it's a lower body injury. Like, that's all you got to say in hockey. Right. Like, it's upper body, lower body, and then guys can play through it. And I mean, there's a lot of times guys need major surgeries. But if you're in a position, you know, 20 games out, maybe they'll just rest you 2-3 weeks. And then you're like, all right, well, you know, let's come back. Like, we need you. You're our second line center, third line center, best penalty killer. But they were able to go out and make some moves. Casey Mittelstadt's just such a good hockey player. I'm so happy the fans of Colorado can kind of see what he can potentially bring to the table. Sean Walker, holy smokes, that guy's the real deal.
And you know, so, like I said, we talked about, they're so fast. They were lightning fast before. Now they're even insanely fast.
Some of those guys get kind of hidden in the metro, you know, your Rangers, your Flyers and stuff. Like, just, you know, I watch a lot of West hockey, a lot of the four teams and stuff. So sometimes the metro with me, it gets a little, and I saw some Sean Walker. I didn't pay close enough attention, I guess, because this guy, holy, like, he's going to catch 20, 22 minutes. You get into overtime, second overtime, he's going to catch 30 minutes, 40 minutes in the game probably. You know, a 2-2-2 punch, Cale Makar, Taves, and then you send out Walker and whoever his D partner is. And wow, I mean, that just looks like such a good pickup, especially playing in front of, goalies that we got to see.
And you feel like now you've seen enough of a sample size of Annan to go, yeah, I think you can see why they said backup goalie, we're not going to worry about that. We feel like Eustace Annan is that guy. And I think we've certainly maybe the last outing against the Blues wasn't against the Blues he played, I believe.
Yep.
Wasn't his best effort. Still played well enough for them to get the win. And
well, I mean, the market just probably wasn't there to get a goalie on a 1 year, like, you know, who's an RFA or an unrestricted free agent next year. And they like Frankie, right? Like, I think they still love Francois. So like, they want to keep him, make sure he's the backup again next year. So if they found that right rental, you know, I think they might have potentially pulled the trigger on a deal, but I don't think they find the right guy. They like their young goalies. We still have this, you know, who was just the worst goalie when he played for the Avs earlier this year, in Prozvatov, you know, down.
Who continues to play well for the Eagles.
Which is crazy, man. It's just.
But it also gives you flexibility going forward, too, because if Francois comes back, you like Annan.
Mm-hmm.
You have some depth there. You also have a guy, maybe a trade down the road, because they had to give up some picks, obviously, and particularly in, with sending, Johansson to Philadelphia, had to give a first round pick. Maybe that it gives you some flexibility there in terms of Annan goes someplace else, because at some point Eustace Annan's going to want to have that opportunity on a regular basis with an NHL team, or maybe it's Francois, and you like what you have with Annan, and gives you a lot of flexibility, I think, Jackson, moving forward in that position.
I will say that the water gets really hot really quick if something happens to Georgie.
That's true.
I think that, you know, they develop and they put together such a good hockey team in front of these goaltenders. That's no more of the concern. But yeah, I mean, they're going to have to play tough in front of them, because if something happens and all of a sudden we're crowning Annan, hey, brother, we're the second seed. We got to go take on, whoever, you know.
And that's where when they had Kemper and they had Francois, how important Francois was when Darcy got that eye injury. And the job that Frankie did to help him win the cup that year.
You know, currently we're matched up. We're tied with Winnipeg for second in conference right now. You know, Cake's going to watch him beat Columbus tonight.
I hope.
And then, oh, buddy, you're fine. And okay. Then, yeah, we got L.A. You know, they're lining up against L.A. You know who's pretty scary right now in that eighth seed that the Avs could match up? Who's really going to be hard first round? Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas is floating down around that eighth, seventh, and they're going to make it in. You know, like, it's a pretty hard line in the West right now. Like, we kind of know the eight teams already. I think Vegas will make it in. And then they got, I mean, what, $25 million on freaking IR and, you know, all this crap that the NHL teams can pull now to get all these guys, you know, back on the roster right. For playoffs when they're way over cap. And, you know, so that'll be a tough first round matchup, I think, for any team, you know, going in, especially if Mark Stone comes back to be healthy. Vegas is definitely a sleeper again this year. So, you know, it'll be interesting, but I think the Avs got it, man. I mean, if they can keep Georgie healthy, they keep putting these lineups together. I mean, it's a very, very good hockey team, very dangerous hockey team. Got the best player in the world playing his best season he's ever had right now.
McKinnon's been insane.
You know, like it's really fun. Rantanen hat trick against St. Louis. I mean, big Val's back. Yeah. You know, didn't miss a beat. It's really fun to watch just the talent and the hockey that, you know, we get to watch. So.
So, kind of wrap it up here a little bit. River City Sportplex, what do you got going on right now?
Yeah, so we have this weekend, we have a Muddy Mitts spring hockey tournament. And then Sunday, we have our championship Sunday for our winter hockey leagues. So Sunday, 5:50 to about like 9 o'clock. A little bit later, we have all of our championship games and stuff for the leagues for the winter. And then previous to that, we'll have the Muddy Mitts. Tomorrow and Sunday. So just bunch of hockey still going on. You would think it's wrapping up and our youth season wrapped up, but we got spring hockey right around the corner. We have a new learn to skate, learn to play session opening up again next week for the spring going through until the kids in school. So if anyone's interested in coming to learn to ice skate or hockey or whatnot, we got all that available. So super exciting stuff. You know, we still got some spring high school going. I was talking about I'm helping out a team out, in the mountains with that. So just really fun stuff. I mean, and with the year-round facility that we have, you know, it's just hockey season kind of never ends now. So
that's fantastic. It's really fun. Yep. RiverCitySportplex.com to get all the details on it. So coming up later today, around 2:30, Colorado takes on Florida in the NCAA tournament. We want to get to a couple things, and you'll hear it part of our coverage today on the team. Buffs looking to do something they have not done since 1955, and that's win back-to-back NCAA tournament games if they can beat Florida today. So, big guard matchup. KJ Simpson, almost 20 points per game for the Buffs. Zion Pullen averages almost 16 points per game for Florida, and both those guys really dictate offensively what both those basketball teams are capable of doing. Got to get Cody Williams going today.
Absolutely.
Cody Williams was essentially a non-factor in the win against Boise State. Got to get him going today for Colorado. And you got to hope De Silva, KJ Simpson keep doing their thing. And that, you know, obviously Big Eddie Lampkin is a factor inside. But Gators, they're a good shooting team. This is a much better offensive basketball team than the one that the Buffaloes beat in Boise State on Wednesday night. Once again, our coverage coming up at 9 this morning with pregame here on the team. All right, 8:47, we'll take a break and come back and bring you some of our interview with Chris Hanks. Jackson, always a pleasure.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate Cake. Cheer loud for the Avs tonight.
I will.
We're going to hear all the way back here in town.
All righty.
Okay.
We'll try.
So we'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show.
Craptastic. That's just crap today.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking CMU baseball with Mavs skipper Chris Hanks on The Team.
Maverick baseball team coming off the sweep of Colorado School of Mines over at the Diamond of the Bergman Sports Complex. Chris Hanks joins us. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Good weekend for your team. You sweep Colorado School of Mines, which came in with the lead in the RMAC, and you're able to break out the brooms against the Ordeagers. Though it wasn't always easy. You had to rally in all four games, but it shows the spirit of your baseball team to fall behind, come back, and battle back The bats certainly showed out this weekend, and you get that four-game sweep against the Ordigers.
Well, yeah, we played a good team. I think Mainz has a very good ball club. They swing the bat really well. They pitch it pretty well. And as you mentioned, we didn't get off to a good start, really, in any of the games except game four. So credit to our guys. Our offense really battled. We played good defense. We still got to get our starting pitching sorted out and get off to some better starts, but we'll get that worked out.
Well, I remember we were talking about the slow start for Rob Sherrar. Well, we can forget about that now. Rob Sherrar had heck of a day yesterday, heck of a weekend in the series against the Ordigers. Your center fielder having a heck of a weekend at the plate.
Yeah, Rob really led the way. You know, as you mentioned, you know, he started the year off very slow. He's heated up the last 2 weeks, and this past weekend he was just on fire. You know, hit several home runs, had a lot of timely hits, and really led the way for our offense.
Yeah, he hit his seventh home run yesterday in the victory over Colorado School of Mines with that 15-8 victory in the final game of the series. And so from what you're seeing, what's been the difference for Rob, Chris, in terms of finally getting into the kind of groove that he was in last year?
Well, you know, I think that out of the gates, you know, Rob thought he had to be the leader. I think he was trying to do, you know, he was trying to hit the ball better than good. He was trying to do more than he needed to do. And, you know, and I think just pressing and now, you know, he's worked beyond that and he's just playing the game again. And you know, whether it's Rob or any player, you know, when guys, you know, try to do too much, it doesn't work very well in our game. You know, just like, it's kind of like golf, you know, you try to do too much off that tee box, sometimes you end up in the rough.
Very true. You end up striking out and sitting on the bench. And certainly if you, you know, have a, you know, if you try to do too much, and it looks like Rob has finally fallen into that groove that we saw last season. Jonathan Gonzalez, big day yesterday. Chris, he went 4-for-5, scored a couple of runs, hit a home run, drove in two, and Jonathan got off to a great start, and he continues to have a very impressive season.
Yeah, John, you know, it's great to get him back. You know, we lost him there for several games with that ankle injury, and since he's come back into the lineup, we haven't lost. And we feel like, you know, he's kind of a spark plug to our team. He's an emotional leader. He's a fiery guy. He's a gritty player. And to have him in the lineup just makes a lot of difference.
Chris Haynes, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, with us. And Chris, Colby Felix had a home run yesterday, also an RBI single as well, that brought in a run. And Colby Felix with a couple of home runs this last weekend. He's really started to pick it up at the plate, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, you know, and Colby's a kid that we had slated as a starter out of the gates, but he wasn't available. He ended up over Christmas break having hernia surgery, and so, you know, when he got back, it knocked him out for quite some time, so he didn't get to start off the season playing or even practicing. And so just recently he returned last weekend, and it's sure good to have him. He's a dynamic athlete. He's kind of a next-level athletic kid, and he's another one that is I think going to continue to just become more and more dangerous.
Chris Haynes, coach of the Maverick baseball team, with us. And Chris, Jordan Ellison got the win yesterday. Used six different pitchers on Monday. He had the three hitless innings, allowed just one walk, and he struck out five. So Ellison with a really good performance out of the pen for you yesterday.
Yeah, you know, Jordan's a kid. What we saw yesterday, that's what I would say we expected we were getting when we got him last year, and he's been a little slow to come around, and, you know, he's another kid that could be a next-level guy as a bullpen kid or a closer, and it was really nice to see because he just carved him up. He probably pitched better than anybody all weekend for us.
All right, that's Chris Haynes. Maverick baseball team takes on Colorado Christian. Once again, that has been switched to a doubleheader today and tomorrow at Bergman Field. First pitch at 2 o'clock for that first game today, and you can catch it on the RMAC network. All right, we have a winner for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
We do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Joe correctly identifying the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. I'm glad you said something earlier, by the way, when you mentioned the Oakland Golden Grizzlies as not actually being from Oakland, California, because that was kind of part of my clue. So I had to readjust on the fly. But nonetheless, Joe, our winner today. Congratulations. Getting beer today.
Well done, Joe. Well done. All right. One quick text to wrap it up this morning. From Butchie, congratulations to Olivia Campbell, who's playing tomorrow in the show. Top 20 game at Metro State. It's the top 20 girls in Colorado in all classes. So congratulations to Florida Monuments, Liv Campbell.
Well
playing,
done.
Playing on the show. All right. That's our show for today. And coming up next, pregame for the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. That's on the way on Westwood One. Enjoy your weekend. Back with you on Monday.